great to see all of our kids heading out to continue to worship the Lord downstairs and Kids Club. Continue to remember to pray for our children and for Pastor Jason, Ms. Kristen, all the leaders down there working with them. As we continue worshiping today, as we get ready to hear from the Cunninghams and the Swingles about their ministry with Heaven Sent, just want to remind everyone to continue to pray for Dr. Miriam Wheeler as she has her hip surgery on Wednesday. She has the hip replacement. To remember her in our prayers and do continue to remember, pray for the Blankenship family and for the Funata family and their loss. But this morning in our mission strategy, it states, the mission strategy of Johnston Chapel is to train, equip, and support believers in Jesus Christ who have been called by God to be sent into the world to fulfill the Great Commission. This morning, we have the privilege of commissioning the first couple to go through our missionary development process, Nick and April Cunningham. This morning, we are commissioning them as a church to go and fulfill the Great Commission. They have already been at this task, but this morning, we officially recognize them as missionaries sent from Johnston Chapel after all their hard work in completing the missionary development process. We also had the privilege of having our supported missionaries, Tim and Michelle Swingle, with us. We've supported them since 2014, and Tim and Michelle have faithfully served in our area, in our church for several years, and they have been a blessing to many in our church and our community. So this morning, as we hear about the ministry of the Cunninghams and the Swingles with Heaven Sent, I know that you'll be encouraged and challenged as we hear how they are a part of the mission to go out and to reach every tongue, tribe, and nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So at this time, if Nick and April, if you would come and share your testimony, how the Lord led you to heaven.
Good morning. Spring Revival, 1987. I remember tugging at my mom's arm every night during the service because I wanted to go forward. I am sure that there were a lot of conversations in my house that week about what it meant to be saved, who needs to be saved, and how someone is saved. But I don't remember any of those conversations. But I remember the last night of that revival, sitting on the right side of the church, about the third window back. Even to this day, we can point to the exact pew if we go into that church. I remember both of my parents walking with me to the altar that night, praying with me as I admitted that I was a sinner and needed rescue from my sin. Praying with me as I declared my belief that Jesus died on the cross to save me from those sins, that he was buried, and that 3 days later, he rose. And that as I committed to live my life in relationship with him, sometimes obeying is easy. It was clear to my six-year-old heart, God was inviting me to have a relationship with him. Pastor Jason teaches our children downstairs that obedience has three parts: doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. It's not always easy to get all three of those pieces at the same time. But it's always worth it when you finally get them together. Early in our marriage, we lived in Arizona. Our contract time with Chick-fil-A there was for about 9 months, and when we ended it, we were going back to Knoxville, Tennessee. Or so we thought. As the time drew near and we started making our plans to go back to Knoxville, it seemed like God was opening new doors. Or more accurately, he just kept closing the door to Knoxville. This happened many times. We ended up staying in the greater Phoenix area for about 6 additional months before God showed us that he wanted us in Shelby, North Carolina. We went where he told us, on his timing, with the right attitude. God's provision for each step made it easy to follow him in obedience. Our transition from North Carolina to West Virginia was pretty clear. But we had to wait for his timing. We were ready to obey. We anticipated our move from North Carolina to West Virginia for almost 18 months. A couple of times we had the house packed, ready to go, and we got the call. There's been another delay. That was frustrating. We were ready to obey. But God was orchestrating something beautiful for us in the waiting. In our journey to find a house here in West Virginia, we were introduced to Scott Mullins, and he introduced us to Jason Bowden, and we learned about the ministry that they were working with, Heaven Sent Ministries. We got to know these men, their families, the other men they worked with. We began volunteering with these men and their families. We started attending the chapel, and we built relationships. And God began working in Nick's heart. Nick probably would have joined Heaven Sent about a year sooner if it weren't for me. I did not have the right heart attitude about this. Nick has been dissatisfied with where he was for quite some time. And he had often mentioned leaving Chick-fil-A with no real plan or guideline for what the next steps were. And when you're a stay-at-home mom and a home stay-at-home wife and a homeschooling mom, you kind of like the certainty of income. So when he said, "What if I work with Heaven Sent?" I kind of dug my heels in. The idea of leaving our steady income to raise our own support was frightening. I knew that God was calling us to make this change, but I didn't want to believe that was the change he was calling us to. Slowly, God worked in my heart, and he built my faith. I did not see or understand how this was going to work, but I knew he was calling us to do this. And so, finally, I told Nick that I was ready to obey. I was ready to trust God with my fears. And the enemy still reminds me of those fears. But God tells me that I don't have to be anxious about anything, but about everything. By prayer and petition to make my request known to him with thanksgiving. So when the enemy's voice gets loud, I fall on my knees and pour my fears out in prayer. I read my Bible to remind myself of God's promises. And I thank him for the opportunity he's given us to serve him and how he's going to use our ministry in the future.
All right. Bear with me. I'm not as eloquent as her, and I've done this before, so you know I get a little bit emotional. So pray and be patient. Unlike April, what April just described for her youth, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. The summer after my high school graduation, I went on a Young Life trip to one of their camps in New York. And during that week, one of the leaders with us, Logan, spent most of that week with me, just sort of pouring into me, sharing with me his life. He was a strong believer. His youth wasn't perfect. And so he spent a lot of time just sort of sharing that with me. But along with that, showing me how God was with him throughout that whole time, and how even when he went astray, God was still right there waiting, brought him back in. And through that, you know, at the end of that week, he led me to the Lord. Oh. And so from there, sort of, he, he was instrumental in the younger, sort of the 20s of my life in many ways. He was a Chick-fil-A operator, so that's how I started at Chick-fil-A. April worked for him at the time. We didn't know each other. And so that's where we met at the store in Bristol. And really it was just instrumental in creating, I guess, a lot of the drive and the person I am now. So for much of my adult life, I could sum up my walk with Christ as being compared to a roller coaster. There's ups and downs. There's been some straightaways. There's been lots of curves along the way. And during that time, the downs and the curves were almost always due to disobedience. One thing I can attest to now is I believe that, as most of us would agree, the older we get, the more I realize I still have a lot to learn and a lot to work on. And I'm still learning that the more intimate my walk is with Christ, the more faithful and obedient as a believer and a follower I can be and I will be. With that, I find myself still messing up way too often. And I'm thankful that the Lord is patient with me and sometimes chooses to use examples. At least for me, he uses examples in my life to remind me there's still a lot of work to be done. And so, now let's see if we can get through this. So for one example, probably a year or so ago, was having, let's call it a discussion with one of our children in regards to getting schoolwork done, attitude, obedience, those typical things that if you have middle school kids, you understand completely. And so as we're talking, and in my head, I'm saying to myself, man, why didn't he get this? It's not that hard. Just do what's being asked. So as we finish, let's just say my discussion, I'm walking out of the room, and before I can get out of the room, I hear in my head, man, why didn't he get this? It's not that hard. Just do what you're asked. But that was God talking to me, probably in a different voice than maybe I was a few minutes earlier. And so I'm just like, ouch. You know, that really hit. So I stopped right there and you know, I acknowledged to God, like, I hear you. You know, I asked for forgiveness right there. Asked him to continue to help in those areas when he was speaking to me. And we know the areas that he's talking to us about. And just asked him to help. Turn around. Go back in the room. And do something that's hard for a lot of men to do. Probably a lot of dads. Apologize to my son right there and then just share with him why I turned around. You know, what God was just telling me. And then we have hopefully a more constructive conversation. So with that, you know, thankful that the Lord uses different approaches in getting my attention. You know, April mentioned obedience quite a bit, and we formulated these on our own first, and just shows you how God works. So I will say that obedience is why our family is serving with HSM, with Heaven Sent. April did a great job of outlining our journey with Chick-fil-A, sort of where we're at, where we serve, doors that were open, doors that were closed, and our sort of crazy path coming to West Virginia. And shortly after arriving here, I could tell that God was working on my heart and knew that change was coming, just didn't know in what capacity. You know, and through that, through much prayer and counsel with several godly men here locally, at Heaven Sent, at the church, and then also with just some of my peers within Chick-fil-A, operators that, you know, whatever industry, whatever work you find yourself in, you've got peers that you can go to. We were sharing last night with the missions committee. A lot of my operator friends will call each other. When I call today, it might be my turn to just open up and let it all out, and he sits there and listens. There's other times when that guy calls me, and I don't say a word. I just let him share. Hopefully you can understand that for what in the different aspects of what you get to do. So after that, you know, a little bit of time of that, several months, we made that transition from Chick-fil-A to Heaven Sent in June of 2019. And that was after serving with Chick-fil-A for, I think, as an operator for about 14 years, and we were 20-plus years with the company. Proverbs 16:9 states, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." And I think that passage of Scripture exemplifies our journey so far. Nowadays, I still feel like I'm on a roller coaster. It's a little less steep hills, a little less sharp curves. Some of the reasons for that, I have an amazingly godly wife who shows me daily patience and love. I'm getting a little bit older every year, and with that, a better understanding of how much I need Christ on a daily basis. Surrounded by godly men, whether that's in my family, that's at Heaven Sent, that's here at church, that daily encourage me and challenge me in my walk. I'll try to go through one more conversation I had. It's for those our age with younger kids, middle school kids, high school kids. You know, I'm learning that car rides are great times to talk because, I mean, the kid can't get out of the car, so we have a captive audience. And so one thought is, I think sometimes God gives us a bit of a confirmation. So just a couple of weeks ago, might have been just last week, Caleb and I were riding back from a store, and he just made the comment, "You must really enjoy what you're doing at Heaven Sent." I don't remember. I don't remember you ever being that happy. At Chick-fil-A, do you think this will be the last job you'll have? So that question just led to just some good conversation on the ride around work, service, and those type of things. And I finished by telling him something to the extent of I enjoy getting what I get to do right now. I hope we get to be here for a long time. But if God burdens us to do something else or serve in a different way, that we would be obedient in that. So we wouldn't have this opportunity that we have right now in serving at Heaven Sent if it wasn't for the prayers and support of many of you all sitting here, and without Johnson Chapel sending us as missionaries. And so we're overwhelmingly grateful for the opportunity that we have to serve. Thank you all.
great to hear stories, isn't it? Individual stories of God's grace is working in people's lives. Thank you. Those testimonies were powerful, challenging, encouraging, all of the above. And we love and appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for sharing. As part of the commissioning service, it's my privilege to give a charge to our missionaries, Nick and April. And really, those two words clarify our purpose here this morning: commission and charge. Commission and charge. According to the Navy, the act of placing a ship in commission marks her entry into active service. It involves the flying of a pennant from the masthead along streamer that bears the nation's colors. There's the word commission. A charge, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is an exhortation with authority. I don't stand here and claim to have authority. Of course, that authority rests in the authority of Scripture, the Word of God. That authority rests on Christ, the one who has called you to go and make disciples of the nations. So Nick and April, today we're commissioning you to active service. We're charging you. I'm charging you to faithful service today. Paul made this declaration in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So I quickly want to charge you with three things as sent missionaries of Johnston Chapel. First, I charge you, be confident in your mission. Be confident in your mission. Taking the gospel to the nations is no easy task. You're going to find that there will be difficult days, challenging days ahead. There'll be days, as you've already experienced, that you may want to quit. You may just want to give up on the mission. I think of Paul, all the opposition that Paul faced to taking the gospel to the nations, ridicule, to flogging, to imprisonment. Yet nothing, no amount of suffering could keep Paul from preaching Christ crucified. Nothing would keep him from doing that. It was his great joy as one sent by God. So likewise, I charge you, Nick and April, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient, as we've already heard from your personal testimonies. His grace is sufficient for the challenging days ahead. His power is made perfect in your weaknesses. So what an encouragement that is. So be confident in your mission. Second, I charge you, be confident in your message. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. What's salvation? Salvation is rescue. So only God's power is able to rescue a sinner from the spiritual darkness of false religion. Only God's power is able to rescue a sinner from eternal separation from God, from punishment in the lake of fire. The gospel that transformed Paul's life, we read that in the epistles, that changed his life on the road to Damascus. Actually, read about that in Acts. But also the gospel that transformed your individual lives, as we've already heard and witnessed, that same gospel will transform the lives of those to whom God has called you. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. I heard the story of a missionary who serves in a restricted access country where the government teaches that there is no God. And after a significant amount of time of building a friendship with a successful businessman, the missionary had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel. When he was able to share it, he was quite taken back by his friend's response. Here's what the friend in that restricted access country said. What you have told me cannot be true. If it were true, it is such good news that someone would have told me before. Somebody would have told me before now. Nick and April, your message, the message you carry to the nations, is good news. It is very good news. Very good news. Millions upon millions of people have yet to hear what April mentioned, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So Jesus has given you an infinitely powerful resource. That's the message you carry. That's the gospel. And he himself, the one who has all authority, the one who is omnipotent, has promised to be with you always, even to the end of the age. So the message of the cross, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So be confident in your message. And finally, Nick and April, I charge you, be confident in your master. He's the one who's in the business of saving souls, isn't he? Salvation is by the sovereign grace of God. We've heard it already. He opens doors. He closes doors. He orchestrates circumstances. He pursues the lost. He's the one who opens their heart to see themselves for who they really are and what sin is. Opens their hearts to understand who Christ is and what he has done for them. He is sovereign in salvation. He's the supreme missionary, and evangelist. So I urge you to faithfully share the gospel. And here's the key, leave the results up to him. That's his work. Leave the results up to him. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, right? Everyone who believes. People from every tribe and language and people and nation. The missionary Robert Moffat once said, "In the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." Robert and his wife Mary spent many long, hard, difficult years sowing the seed of the gospel in Africa. Yet they saw no response to the gospel message. There were no converts. And one day they received a letter from a friend from England asking how she might help them in their ministry. And Mary sent a surprising request back to her. She said this, "Send us a communion set. We shall want it someday." Right? No converts. No church. Send us a communion set. We're going to need it, in modern day language. By the time the communion set finally arrived, it was needed. Many people, men, women, had trusted in the Lord Jesus. They were ready to partake of communion, the bread and juice representing the life of Christ, the death of Christ, his life given for them, that they might know forgiveness of sins and eternal life. What faith! In fact, Robert even confessed his own surprise. Remember, this was Mary's request. He confessed his own surprise that, in his own words, how God had done exceeding abundantly above all they had asked or thought. Romans 1:16, a great charge for all of us. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Nick and April, I charge you, be confident in your mission. Be confident in your message. And be confident in your master, right? He'll carry you through. His grace is sufficient. And he'll bring that harvest of souls in his good time. Pastor James.
I remember in 2008 when my brother finished his Marine Corps recruit training. And that culminates in what is called the Crucible, which is a 54-hour day and night test of endurance. After the completion of the Crucible, each Marine recruit officially becomes a Marine when they are given the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor emblem, which represents all the battles they've gone through and won to finally become a Marine. It's a very special and important time for each recruit as they officially become a Marine and they've achieved these great accomplishments. From this time forward, each Marine has received the recognition and approval of their drill instructors and the Marine Corps that they are now ready to go and serve their country. The Eagle, Globe, and Anchor ceremony is the final stamp of approval on the Marine, acknowledging they have completed the training and been found to have the character and qualities necessary to be a Marine. This morning, as we prepare to lay hands on Nick and April, we are commissioning them. We are sending them out to serve the Lord. The laying on of hands in prayer is like a Marine Corps receiving his Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. The laying on of hands and praying symbolizes the journey the Lord has taken Nick and April on throughout their lives to bring them to the point of being commissioned by Johnston Chapel and sent out as missionaries from here. The laying on of hands and prayers symbolizes our recognition, our confirmation as a church family, that they do indeed have the character, the qualifications to serve the ministry they're in, and our belief as a church that God has indeed called them to the ministry that they are currently serving in. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 13, in verses 1 through 3, as the church in Antioch confirms and commissions Paul and Barnabas to the ministry that God had for them. Pastor Dan charged Nick and April with not being ashamed to share and proclaim the gospel. Now I charge us as a church that we are to care for the ones we are commissioning this morning. It is our job, our responsibility as a church to care for Nick and April as we send them out as missionaries for Johnston Chapel. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, we see we're setting apart or consecrating the Cunninghams to continue to do the work God has called them to, and we are confirming their qualifications to be commissioned. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there are prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." This morning, we as a church are doing this same thing. We are consecrating the Cunninghams. We are setting them apart for the work that the Lord has called them to do, and which they have been involved in to this point. We recognize through their testimony that the Lord led them from Arizona to Shelby to Princeton, West Virginia, to leave their previous ministry, their previous job, and to serve at Heaven Sent. There's no way in hearing about that they could have planned that out. That was completely God leading their way and bringing them to the ministry that He would have for them. Nick and April have been serving at Heaven Sent since June 1st of 2019, and if you spend time with them and interact with them, it's apparent they're involved in the ministry that the Lord has made them for, has confirmed them for. And second, we are confirming the Cunninghams' commission. In verse 3, it says, "So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." By placing our hands on them and praying for them here in just a moment, we are confirming that the Lord indeed has called the Cunninghams. They have proven godly character over years of serving here in Johnston Chapel. And they indeed do have the gifts and the abilities and qualifications to serve in this ministry. As a church, we also recognize that they have completed the missionary development process, which was a lot of work of writing out their personal doctrinal statement, going through books, and meeting with Richard and Susanna Hannum, who have coached them through that process. So as missionaries from Johnston Chapel, we are committing to prayer support, financial support, and to look over the spiritual and emotional well-being of our missionaries as they are sent out this morning. Our desire is to see them be successful and a lifetime of faithful ministry to the Lord. So church, this morning is a reminder to us that we bear the responsibility of caring for our missionaries, especially our missionaries sent from Johnston Chapel. We are commissioning them, and it is our responsibility to love them, encourage them, help them, and be with them through the highs and lows of ministry and life. Now, Nick and April, I'd like to give you a pin of a globe to represent your ministry as missionaries sent from Johnston Chapel. So if you and your family are going ahead and come up this morning, have these little lapel pins that you guys probably can't see from where you're at, but has a picture of the globe on them. And just as a Marine receives their Eagle Globe and anchor, this morning I want to give this to Nick and April as a sign of our commissioning you all this morning. So this pin represents that I, as the missions pastor, the MDP team, the pastors, deacons, and us as a church are consecrating and confirming them for the work the Lord has called them to. And we recognize that God has indeed equipped you for this work. So this morning I have a commitment, a statement of commitment to the church. So I'm going to read some questions, and I ask that you as a church confirm to Nick and April by saying, "We do." Johnston Chapel family, do you commit to regularly pray for the Cunninghams and support them financially as we consecrate them to the work God has called them? Thank you. Johnston Chapel Church family, do you commit to be involved in the lives of the Cunningham family and to help provide them with the spiritual, financial, emotional, and physical support they need as they seek to carry out the Great Commission? All right, so now the Cunningham family is up here. If I could have the MDP team, which is Richard and Susanna Hanna, and then the Huffmans, John and Kisty Huffman, along with the pastors to come up here as we lay hands on them and pray for them this morning as we commission them.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for Nick and April Cunningham and their desire to serve you, Lord, in the service there with Heaven's Head Ministries, God. Lord, we pray for them, God. We pray that you'll bless their family, God, and bless their children, Stacy, Will, and Caleb, God. We pray, God, you'll keep them in perfect health, God, and you'll just bless them as they grow and mature in fellowship with you, God. We pray that you, as a family, God, that your heavenly hand will be upon them and your grace will be upon them, and that you'll use them mightily for your kingdom, God. Lord, we pray, God, also, God, is for the work that they do at Heaven Sent, God, for that ministry there, Lord, to reach out and touch lives as they seek to not only meet physical needs, Lord, but spiritual needs around the globe, God. Lord, we just pray, God, for your touch of grace upon them, and as they as a church, as we commission them to go out, we pray, God, that each one of us here truly means it when we say we'll support them in prayer and financial, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, and may you use them for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so at this time, I think Nick's going to come back and along with the Swingles, and they're going to prepare to share a little bit just about what their day-to-day life and ministry looks like at Heaven Sent and the ministries they're involved in. So if you guys will come and share.
One more time. So like Pastor James already mentioned, you know, we've been serving at Heaven Sent for 3.5 years now, since June of 19. For me, my primary focus there at the ministry is working with the hunger relief program, both international and domestic. And then along with that, I spent some time working on the website. So the ministry lost a really great IT person when the church here gained a really great children's pastor. And so we've sort of just been working together to figure that out and trying to keep the website as up to date and as fluid as possible. And then recently just working with Scott on learning about the mission trips and things like that. You know, the last couple of years have been a little bit weird for everyone dealing with COVID and such. So, you know, mission trips were a pretty large portion of the ministry for quite some time before I came there. And trying to figure out what that looks like now, we'll just say post-COVID. And so just working with Scott on learning some of that. We've got someone that oversees that completely who lives in England. But sometimes communication and things like that, it never hurts to have a little bit of help here stateside. So recently, just reflecting on last year for the ministry and then some of the things that we have coming up this year, and it sort of struck me how awesome it is that God burdens people's hearts in different ways. And so just with that, I just want to update you on the international hunger relief, domestic hunger relief, and then the work that we're doing in South Sudan. So from a domestic hunger relief standpoint, it's a rather new program, for lack of a better phrase. We started it in about March of 2020, and if you go back to March of 2020 and think about what was going on, and that's when everything started shutting down. So not the best timing, but I think we've already heard sometimes timing is definitely out of our hands. But with that, we've not been able to do as much as we anticipated. But probably over the last 18 months, we've developed a really good friendship with a ministry friend up in Beckley. And his heart is burdened for children in West Virginia. He's very passionate. to serve and to help specifically children throughout the whole state. And with that, we've worked pretty good with him. Last year, he was able to package and distribute about 10,000 meals throughout a couple of different counties in West Virginia. Oceana, I'm not sure what county that is. I think Lindsay said Wyoming. And then up in Huntington. And so we met, Scott and I met with him early this year in January, and he's fired up about doing more this year. The business that he runs, he uses revenue from his business to sponsor this food. And so we talked through some different things, and we're hoping this year that we can do more with that. We're planning on looking at doing a hunger challenge and maybe in Raleigh County that would be specifically for domestic. So that's something I'm pretty excited about. I've, you know, and struggled a little bit with that aspect just because we've not had a whole lot of momentum with it. So for me, it's really encouraging to have someone that's a passion for him. And I look forward to seeing how God uses that within this area from a regional standpoint throughout this year and hopefully moving forward. And if you've got questions on that, what that looks like from the domestic standpoint, you know, please feel free to ask us at any time. We also, this year, we have an opportunity to go to Stonewall Jackson Resort and do a small packaging event with the Rotary Club from a statewide standpoint. I think they have their state-level annual meeting or something there. And so we have an opportunity to go up there and package with them. So we're looking forward to that. And what that does is just it allows us an opportunity to introduce what we do to some other people, whether that's locally or what. There's a lot of organizations that package meals like we do. Most of those are not doing it from a biblical perspective, from a Christ-centered perspective. And the more people we can talk with and sort of show what we do and the, what's behind that, the reason for that, we want to take as much opportunities of those as we can. So from an international standpoint, so last year through God's provision and thousands of volunteers, most of you all in here, so we were able to package over 1 million meals last year through Heaven Sent, and that's both here in Princeton and then with the guys that are in Kansas that do this also. The best I can look going back, it's the first time that we've been able to do that many. I like numbers. Numbers aren't the most important thing. But that's a pretty good accomplishment that God allowed us to do that. It's just, again, things are tough right now in various ways. And to be able to have the opportunity to be able to package that many meals, it was great. It was, I think it was an accomplishment. And I hope we can do more. And I tell the, you know, we have a staff meeting every Tuesday, and I kind of, and I see Lisa back here, I kind of stole something from OCC. You know, the shoe boxes that we package within the organization, they're called GOs, so Gospel Opportunities. And so in some of our staff meetings throughout the year, I've sort of shared that with the guys at Heaven Sent. I'm like, you know, every meal we package, you know, it has a potential to be a gospel opportunity. And that doesn't matter if it's in Mercer County or Wyoming County or if it's in Juba, South Sudan, or in Poland or something like that. So the more opportunities we have, the better it is. So going back to the concept of burdening hearts, so last May, actually last April, Lyle got a phone call. So Lyle Mullins, the president and founder of Heaven Sent. So he got a phone call from a pastor friend of his in central northern Ohio. He hadn't talked to him in quite some time. And he just called and was like, hey, do y'all still package food? And Lyle was like, yeah, we do. And he's like, okay. And God was burdening his heart for his church to be able to do something in Europe, you know, geared towards the conflict going on and with Russia and Ukraine and stuff. And so he asked Law, well, do you think y'all can do something? And they talked about it and different stuff. And it was like, yeah, I think we can. And so Lyle asked him, how soon do you want to do that? And this was the first part of April. And he says, let's do it the 1st of May. And we had Mercer County Hunger Challenge coming up. If you do anything with shipping or ordering or things like that right now, it's you can't order today and get it tomorrow. So at that time, we were about 8 to 10 weeks out from being able to get any ingredients that we used to package. And Lyle being Lyle said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll figure it out. And so we, you know, we discussed that internally. We prayed heavily about it. And then, you know, ultimately we went up. We had all the ingredients we needed. And we were able to package there at the church in Genoa. They packaged an entire shipping container. So we worked with some other ministry partners from the past that was able to get that shipped. It ended up going to Krakow, Poland, working with a missionary there who was able to the organization he was working for. They were housing about 1,000 refugees. They sort of created bunk rooms and stuff like that for them. So they were able to use that food there, the meals there. But then they were also working with a network of churches throughout Ukraine in about 4 or 5 cities. And through December and January, they were able to get those distributed out through those places. And they sent us some different pictures and stuff. And he shared with us, you know, the communication is really tough. Think about what's going on there, and you can understand why. You know, we weren't getting a whole lot of feedback, but we understood why. But again, that goes back to the concept of, you know, God burdening someone else's heart. That was geared towards the work in Europe, which we've not done a whole lot. That's the first time since I've been helping that we've done anything there. I know that they, you know, the ministry has sent some food to somewhere, I think, in Eastern Europe before at a different time. So one more example of that. So we're working with a church in Oak Hill locally, specifically with a couple there. They are wonderful supporters of the ministry, but their hearts were burdened to do more from an international standpoint, specifically working with trying to get food and meals to South Sudan. And so starting in September, we take up ingredients and supplies. They're packaging every one Wednesday night a month with their Awana kids, and just keeping the food up there. We'll go up once a quarter, pick up the food that they've packaged, bring it back. And it's cool. It's the first time that we've done that, and it's pretty neat. We're working out wrinkles within that, but at the same time, you know, when we talk back and forth, the kids are loving it. It's not a large church. They might have 40 people and probably 20 kids, but it doesn't matter. And it's just another example of how God burdens people's hearts in a different way. So this year, we've got the Hunger Challenge coming up in about a month. Hopefully we'll have registration open for that next week. We're working. It's going to be a little bit different. So we're transitioning from boxes to buckets, 5-gallon buckets. So I know some people, it'll be different. And but we're excited about it. It's something that we started looking at last summer. And just sort of, again, God burdened Lyle's heart in a different way. It's like, hey, what about buckets? So we talked with Ding, because, you know, most of this stuff will go to Ding in South Sudan. That's our representative there. We've had a friend coming and staying with us quite a bit over the last 6 months who is from Uganda, and we've talked with him. And he's like, this is amazing. You know, buckets are extremely useful for people in third world countries and less privileged places. And you know, Samuel's this guy, he was sharing with us just some of the different aspects of that they'll be able to use it, the families that will get food and stuff like that. So we're excited for it. Cardboard box can be repurposed a whole lot. You know, a sturdy plastic 5-gallon bucket they can use for food, for water, for showers, so many different things. And so we're just excited for that. And you'll see that coming up in the next couple of weeks or whenever we package here at the end of March. And this year we were in Ohio just a couple of weeks ago. We had an opportunity to package again at a church up there. It's a women's rehabilitation center. We've been up there several times, and we're hoping to do a few events in South Carolina. And then our guys in Kansas are staying constantly busy right now, packaging on an ongoing basis. So just a lot of opportunities. We're praying about some doors to open to be able to send some food to Uganda. There's a lot to work out there. Fortunately, we'll just let him figure it out and then tell us yay or nay. But that is something that we're hoping that we will have that opportunity to do also this year. But we'll see what happens. So with that, just the South Sudan update. From an international standpoint, that is where the majority of our attention is. Heaven Sent was able to gain NO status, so national organization status, there in 2017. And that sort of worked out through a relationship. Nancy, that works with us at the ministry, she had a long-term, decades-long relationship with a guy named Dean there. And through that and then through conversations that Scott and Lyle and the rest of the team there had with Nancy and with Dean, just sort of created that relationship. So since 2017, the ministry has been able to send over 1 million meals there, and then countless amounts of clothing, Bibles, blankets, really anything. If Dean communicates with us and says, hey, I think we could really use this, if Nancy finds out about it, she'll buy everywhere out that she can, and it's her heart is for the people there in South Sudan, and it's a great for that. So, but with that, sometimes we get a question: why are you still so focused on South Sudan? And you can go back to the concept of a burden. that's a location that God's put a burden on the heart of Heaven Sent. And that's filtered down from Lyle through Scott to the rest of us. There's a huge need there. It's not a popular place to work or to go. It's a very dangerous place. It's one of the top three poorest nations in the world. It's the youngest nation. They broke off from Sudan in 2011, and since then, so what's that, 12 years? Since then, they've been in constant civil war within the country, famine, and now flooding. And so for the last 3 years, just massive flooding every year. And so with that, it's created almost a nonstop ongoing crisis scenario. We have an opportunity to be able to send stuff there and help. Dean is able to distribute that to the people there. Internally at Heaven Sent, we would love to be able to see Dean and the people that he's serving get to where they're self-sustainable. That's our goal. We have conversations with him, with other people. We spend a lot of time in prayer about that, just seeking wisdom and discernment. Is there a way we can help moving forward for them to be able to get to that point where it's not, you're just constantly sending stuff? That's our goal for there. It's our goal. And I challenge y'all to pray for the ministry in that we would have wisdom and discernment in how to approach that. But right now, they lose their crops every year. They have little access to clean water. The infrastructure is very poor. The road infrastructure is very poor, so it's hard to get other food in to the different regions. And because of that and just the opportunity we have to serve there, we'll continue to serve until God leads us in a different direction or he closes that door and says, all right, now it's time to serve here in this other place. Probably gone over my 8 minutes. And Pastor Dan sort of touched on this a second ago, I think, or Pastor James won, but the meals and other items that you all help us send are making an impact. They're meeting many physical needs. Obviously the largest one for us is starvation with children. But more importantly, the aide that we're sending is giving Dean an opportunity to share the gospel. And we talk with him constantly about that, you know, the opportunity he has. He can't give us names back. He doesn't record names and things like that. But he does confirm to us that, you know, as he's able to distribute and do different things, he gets an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, he's mentioned and showed us pictures of some different people who have taken food, gone home, and they've come back. He tries to have a service on the weekends, especially after after a shipping container has gotten there. And he shared with us different people who have come back who would not have been there, but they came back because they did receive some meals or help and then accepted Christ. So even though, you know, we're not there personally being able to talk to these people, you all who are helping the ministry, I mean, you're just as much of a part of it. You know, maybe you're not there physically, but do know the prayers that you're sending up and the help for the support for the ministry, that aspect is going out. So, and everything that Heaven Sent is doing, we want to make sure that above all we're representing Him and that the gospel has an opportunity to be shared. And I think Tim will mention probably a few other ways here in just a minute. Since I've been at Heaven Sent, one particular passage of Scripture has sort of settled on me. And that's Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I like to focus on the first sort of two sections of that. And, you know, from that standpoint, God's given Heaven Sent an amazing opportunity to do good to many people around the world, which gives us a platform where we can exercise the Great Commission from Matthew 28:19-20, which, you know, is our ultimate goal. So thank you all so much for the support that you give, for the prayers, for coming out to package meals. Hopefully you can feel and get a sense that, you know, the work that you all are doing is making a difference in people's lives, from Mercer County to South Sudan and wherever else we have that opportunity to serve. So thank you all.
All of us at Heaven Sent would just like to thank you for your support, and especially for the way you all as individuals and as a church have really gotten behind the Cunningham family. They are a real blessing to us, as I know they are to many of you. So thank you for that. I work in a support role at HSM, and so this morning I want to just share a couple areas of ministry that are going on that maybe some of you aren't quite as familiar with as you are the hunger relief, because, of course, you've been involved so much in the hunger relief over the years. And those three areas I want to talk about are disaster relief, discipleship, and mission team. So, as many of you have done in the last few days, I've looked at the news and all I see is natural disasters. And around here, it's flooding. And across the country, it's tornadoes. And across the world, earthquakes. So everywhere we look, there is need. And many of you have received our appeals through social media for help. We've asked for donations of material goods or financial help so that we can then store it and build it up until we have truckloads ready. And many of you have responded and contributed and made it possible because, of course, as a ministry, we don't have all that stuff. We're just the conduit. And so you all bring in donations and financially support the ministry, and so we accept those, we warehouse them. And then in 22, this last year, we were able to deliver truckloads of supplies over to Buchanan County, Virginia, to the flooded areas there, as well as a number of locations in Kentucky. So we just want to thank all of you for your part in disaster relief with HSM. Discipleship is at the heart of everything we do at HSM, and I'd say most of the staff, you know, are involved in discipleship. And this morning, I just want to give you four examples of how that's being carried out on a day-to-day basis through the ministry. One of them is our president, Lyle. Most of you know Lyle, and he was just recently invited and down to Mooresville, North Carolina, to do a 10 or 12-week discipleship course through a large church down there, and that was a real benefit to the folks at that church. And of course, he does a lot in the community as well as far as discipling people. And then Nancy, Nick touched on some of the heart that Nancy has in around the world in Sudan, but also in the Montcalm schools where she teaches Bible clubs, and some of you are involved in that. So Nancy's a real blessing, and she's actually the one, whenever one of us wonders if the rapture happened, we all run and check Nancy's office, because we know if she's here, we're safe. She's a blessing. And then, of course, my wife, Michelle, she is involved in a ladies' Bible study, and she also disciples a number of young ladies, some here in the community and some far away. And she spends a lot of time patiently listening on the phone and encouraging them where they need encouragement. So lastly, I would say some of you know about our discipleship training center in Ghana, West Africa. And that's where our staff member, Pastor James Setry, brings in young men, pastors from his area around Accra, the capital, and also from other countries like Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Benin, Togo, Nigeria, all around Ghana. And these young pastors will come into the discipleship training center, and we can house them and feed them there. And they come in and they just receive encouragement. As a pastor out in rural areas, many of these pastors themselves even struggle with mixing some of the old pagan beliefs and the things they grew up with Scripture. And so James has a very important ministry there to just help them focus on Scripture as their source. And, you know, a lot of the pastors that come to our training center make great sacrifices to come. Many of them have very little resources. And so there's an opportunity for you guys to sponsor a pastor through our website, through our e-giving app. And many of you actually have. And we just want to thank you for being a part of discipleship at HSM. And lastly, I just want to wrap up quickly with just a little information about mission teams. And again, Nick touched on that. We have let me just say, 25 years ago, this last September, Heaven Sent Ministries was founded on a vision to facilitate mission trips for people who might come from a smaller church or a rural area and just don't have the understanding of logistics to travel internationally. And many of them don't have, of course, the contacts. You can't just land in a country and start doing stuff. Not in this day and age. And so Andrew Tattersall and his wife, Laura, have a real heart for missions. And they have a lot of established contacts that they have personally visited. They have traveled extensively. And so they have a real gift and a heart for customizing and designing mission trips. And so if you wanted to go as an individual or with a group,